Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A couple of games back underway. I don't think we are yet at Celtic Park. Gabriel, was there a sign of any changes?
Yes, Andrew, Celtic just going to make one change. Looks like it's Yang coming on in the place of Dyson Maeda. He's going to play on the left wing. That's the only change. So Celtic will line up as Schmeichel, Johnston, Carter Vickers, Scales, Baye. It'll be Callum McGregor alongside Luke McCowan and Paolo Bernardo in midfield. Yang on one wing, Forrest on the other, and Ida up top. Could have a couple of substitutes for Ross County as well. We know Jack Hamilton has already come on for Ross Laidlaw. Scott Allardyce is coming on as well, as is Nike Efete for the Staggies. And we are just about to get underway again for the second half.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
Probably no surprise there, really, that Yang is the one to come on.
Yeah, Dyson Maeda scored a great goal for Celtic midweek against Club Bruges. There's still this game at Pittodrie to come on Wednesday night, so he's done his work. And Yang now gets a full half to show what he can do. The question clearly is, how many? How much more do Celtic want? Will the hunger and desire still be there, the full 90 minutes? The professionalism is certainly there. If they want it, they could take the score to an embarrassing level.
Yeah, not surprised by that. Daz called it as well. But a wee bit surprised that Alistair Johnson's still being left on. He's played a lot of football and you've got Ralston sitting there. I would have been tempted to do that change just now as well. And the rest, you know, they're obviously going to have to come on. I think he'd prefer to have a few younger ones on there that he could have used today. But safety first, I suppose, with the big hitters.
And I'm not surprised Ross County making a couple of substitutions. Unfortunately, they lost their number one goalkeeper just before the interval. But they brought on a couple of players there just to try and see if they can tighten things up, because you know Celtic are going to come at them. They're looking for more goals. They're hungry this afternoon. Could be a long second half.
You see the story about Alistair Johnson during the week has been long listed for the FIFA Best 11 along with 22 other defenders.
Well, even if you don't get in, you always have the distinction of being on the list of possible. So he'd been a great signing for Celtic, and he clearly revels in Glasgow, the rivalry with Rangers, everything about being here. He has embraced it all.
You could see he's a young lad that he had everything to make it to the top, Andrew, I've got to say.
Was wondering how long it would take for you to claim this one as your work.
And I'm led to believe that he's got to send me another Christmas video just to say Merry Christmas to me this year again.
Couple of changes for Motherwell. I know supporters, Stuart Kettlewell, not too happy with the first half performance. Stamatolopoulos and Andy Halliday off, Watt and Robinson on.
They need something, don't they? I like that. If it's not working the first half, see this. Years ago, manager used to wait to 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in, and then change it. If you've got a feeling it's not working, you've got to change it. Change at half time, because it gives you the opportunity to tell the players exactly what you're wanting, what you're demanding of them, and let's see if they can get a response, Motherwell.
The expression that David Friel used at half time was that the Motherwell fans had been booing very loudly. Those two words, very loudly, tell you that unless they can get something out of this match, we're going to have calls at 5 o'clock.
Let's do this, Hugh.
The second half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Ah,
I have played alongside Kasper Schmeichel, Charlie Adam, and Mark Wilson.
Ooh.
I have been managed by Paul Lambert and Neil Warnock. I was capped for Scotland, in spite of never having played there. So, I played alongside Kasper Schmeichel, Charlie Adam, and Mark Wilson. I've been managed by Paul Lambert and Neil Warnock, and I was capped for Scotland, in spite of the fact I never played there.
Well, remember, earlier on in the show, you said, how does Gabs remember the players he played with? Now I'm testing your knowledge, Mark.
Ah, okay, I see what you've done there, right, okay.
Oh, I'll tell you where you get down. It's St Andrew's Day today. There'll be a wee link to that.
St Andrew's Day?
Today.
He's been capped for Scotland, even though he's never played there. Is that what you said there?
Uh-huh. Yep. Is his name Andrew?
No.
Right, I'm just saying St Andrew. Is his name Saint?
No.
If his name was Andrew and you'd given the game away straight away.
Andrew, there's no chance his name is Andrew, let's be honest about it.
But yes, remember, at Clyde SSB, it is a race. Get your answers in as quickly as possible. One name, one tweet.
Come on,
easy,
man, you should get that. An ex-teammate, Neil Warnock, and who was the other one? Paul Lambert?
Yep.
Never played in Scotland?
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Nah.
A half chance for Hibs, who are looking to go 3-0 up against Motherwell. Kukurevich, it was. And that, if the boos were loud for Motherwell in the first half, if it had gone 3-0 just after half time, imagine what it would have been like.
The ground empties, and those who remain only remain to give Stuart Kettlewell terrible abuse. But for David Gray, you know, he's now more than halfway towards what would be a tremendous fillip for them to get that win, to put Hearts bottom of the table. That's one thing that would also add to the enjoyment for the Hibs fans. Hearts tomorrow against Aberdeen, what a match that promises to be.
Nicky Cadden into the side netting now. It's all Hibs at the start of the second half. They are 2-0 up against Motherwell. More booze, says David Friel.
Well, you might get a repeat of last week's programme. As I say, Super Scoreboard never leaves you. I'm walking the streets of Brighton, taking my grandchildren for their Saturday dinner, and a pal of mine phoned and said, somebody's just phoned Super Scoreboard from inside Ibrox while the game is
going. Yeah, that was entertaining.
That was brilliant. It really was. To be fair, to get the best of order, everybody was quiet round about.
4-2, Stirling Albion 2, Russell McLean on the score sheet.
Oh, well,
you got it.
Produced.
You got it.
He's on fire.
Don't read it out.
He doesn't even know who that is.
You didn't play with him.
Of course I did. You need to think. Think outside the box.
It's not easy when you don't have help, is it?
So to speak.
Listen, I struggle when I can't cheat. I'm totally honest with that. I struggle when I can't cheat. I confessed to the boys last week. I cheat. I've got a great saying.
Your second.
Cheaters always win.
Your second half.
True. That is true.
You are
very rarely lose, did it?
Exactly. Well, my second half teaser.
I say your own second half teaser now is to work out where Mark played with this player.
I know.
And for everyone else,
because I know his clubs, and I don't think this player played at Dumbarton, right? But I don't think
played with many gifted players throughout my career.
Did they say the same about you?
Of course. Of course they were all fortunate to play alongside me. Yeah.
My goodness.
That stumped you, hasn't it?
I'm going to show Mark something just in case that's where it was, because that's the only place I can think.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes,
there we go. He's solved it. Pretty quiet start. Pretty quiet start to the second halves. Apart from at Fir Park, where Hibs are looking good, 2-0 up against Motherwell. Well, that would be a huge result for David Gray.
Yeah, as I say, football's about rivalry. If you get your first win in 10 matches and you put your biggest rivals to the bottom of the league table, that's a good day.
Yeah,
they need it, Hugh, because looking at Celtic's afternoon, Hibs go there next.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think they'd get anything at all. Now we just lump pressure on. If he gets a good, well, it is a good result so far, but if he can see it out, and Mark's right, you never know with Hibs. All of a sudden, this is a Hibs team that if Motherwell score a goal, they start to panic. But so far, you've got to say it's been a good, good day for him.
I wonder when David Gray starts to enjoy the game, because if you're two up and you're getting into the last 5 minutes, usually managers would think job done, brilliant. Not with Hibs, the amount of late goals he concede, the amount of calamitous goals he concede. I think you're right, had to be the full time whistle, you relax.
I done that in the Scottish Cup, 3-0 up, and I'm thinking, I wonder where we'll get in the next round. I hope we got a big club. They get beat 4-3.
Oh.
It was horrific.
I wish I knew you back in those days.
I would be first
on the phone to you.
Tactical genius. Well, you've been on the phone congratulating me on a lot of things I achieved. Manager of the months and everything.
Manager of the months. Yeah. Didn't even have them.
Yes, he did.
No, they didn't.
Yes, he did. You can go and check it. Roger Hanna will tell you.
Early 2000s, they were talking about.
Yeah, I was flying then. I was beating Premier League teams left, right, and centre.
Did you get a trophy for it?
My record stands for itself. No, he didn't get a trophy there.
Well, Andrew, type in Mark Wilson, manager of the month. You'll see me with a trophy.
Or did I get a trophy or did? I don't know.
Well, obviously, he didn't.
I had that many in those days.
With the medals.
Best dress manager.
Individual honours for Gordon DL. First Division Manager of the Month, November 97, March 2001, February 2002, and once in the Second Division, August 1996.
Four. Wow, where was it? Fifth.
I take it all back.
Thank you.
That is a top manager across all divisions.
I should have been at the top of the tree. It was just a Saturday spoiled it for me.
Good Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday, I was the best Friday, manager and coach you ever seen in your life.
Here you go, here's your photo, Mark.
Hey.
Ladbrokes League One, manager of the month.
Yeah.
Who with?
It's good, isn't it?
That's mine.
That's yours. You never set foot on the pitch.
I've got to say, you've lost a bit of weight since that photo.
Slightly a bit chunky back in those days. Wasn't doing so much running.
I don't remember you like that.
Aye, round face.
Were you a scofflaw?
Hugh's now coming round to have a look.
Aye, it was a wee bit.
Is he a wee bit chunky monkey?
Just run a bit the face.
Tubster.
Tubster.
I was just after I'd retired and found junk food and started eating a lot of it alongside beer. You know what happens after that?
The kebab shop come in.
Yes.
Adam Eder hits the woodwork, heads off the sort of junction of the bar and the post from a corner. Celtic almost getting a sixth.
Has Casper Schmeichel touched the ball?
Doesn't look like.
I don't even think he came in the second half. I think he's still in the dressing room.
By the way, your appearance at Kirkcaldy last week must have inspired your old side. 3-0 up.
Yeah, I gave Rose, Dylan Easton.
How'd it go?
I gave a great talk, mate. I really did. I was so proud of myself. Do you know, for the first time in my life, in the fell for it, I was humble. Right? I was sort of saying, I hope the present team can go on and achieve what obviously I achieved, which there's absolutely no chance. Everybody in the hall's going, oh, he's very humble. I'm thinking there's no chance that's happening.
Any current squad there at the dinner, or was it the?
Oh, the manager was there.
The manager.
The current manager was there.
What's his name?
Gaffer.
Neil Collins.
Neil. Did you?
Aye.
He looks
so Neil came to Scotland, was it 21s, and he was a player that was never part of the squad. You know, you never seen him through the 16s, the 17s, the 19s. He was a late developer and he came in, and we were all kind of pals, and he came in as a big centre half. He was doing boys in training.
Who did he play with that time, Mark?
Well, that is a good question. I'm not sure who he played for. Oh, I think down south, maybe Sunderland. Was he down south at Sunderland? So one of those Scottish boys that was across the border and came up, and he was busy in training. But he had a decent career after that.
Yeah, he was there, nice lad. I enjoyed my day. Wee Sunday afternoon. You can't beat a Sunday afternoon. So lovely to catch up with the boys, the class of 94.
One Coca-Cola cup and he's been like the United team that won the Champions League. The class of 94.
It was lovely to join up.
Was there footage showing in that in the background?
Yeah. Oh, what a scene. Everybody stood up.
Everybody
applauded
cheering.
My 30-yard goal.
That's embarrassing.
Kilmarnock's best spell of the game, McCracken with a save, Portales with a block, both in quick succession. Still goalless.
Roger Hanna
hit it on the head at half time when he said, "Were you a stinker?" The goal laden matches in the three that they've played in the last 8 weeks, but apparently this ain't one of them.
Is Dundee United St Mirren still nil-nil?
Still goalless, yeah.
Well, I was expecting goals here. I thought it'd have been a really, really good game. Come on, in Dundee, you're right. In the past, games have been excitement, goals, drama. We're getting nothing.
Alex Vai should make it six. A lovely team move, but a save from Jack Hamilton, who is in goal for Ross County. So that'll be two Ross County goalkeepers that have touched the ball more than Kasper Schmeichel today.
Well, it speaks for Celtic's enthusiasm. They're still going at it, still looking for more goals. Long way to go in the game. You'd imagine the Ross County players, the longer the game goes, must drop down in terms of their fitness.
See, in terms of Schmeichel, would you have been tempted to change him? Bring Sinisalo on at half time just for 45 minutes?
Well, no one's clapped eyes on Sinisalo at all.
Yeah. I just wondered.
Do you know something? That's a good point, just to give him a feel for it, a bit of game time. Saying that, you wouldn't get much game time because they're not really touching the ball. So,
there's going to be two changes for Celtic.
Ralston.
Yes.
And hold on.
I'll go.
Trusty.
Hatate.
Arnie Ingles.
Ah.
Who was, well, Brendan Rodgers was sort of defending him yesterday. Yeah. He's faced a bit of criticism, hasn't he, for his recent displays, of course, with an £11 million price tag. The expectations are going to be high, but essentially saying sort of write him off at your peril, noting what Nicholas Kuhn has done. Which I think is a more relevant example than Paolo Bernardo. I don't remember Bernardo being written off too much at the start of his Celtic career, but certainly Nicholas Kuhn has come on leaps and bounds.
The big problem is the fee. And I know that Brendan Rodgers quite rightly said the player doesn't set the fee. However, people get it into their heads, £11 million, the most that Celtic have ever paid for any player in their history. And they can't get that sum of money out of their heads. But Arne Engels has already shown his quality in a Celtic jersey. He then had two or three games where he's not been at his best. But people aren't supermen, game in, game out. And I think it's right to bring him on now and let him relax into this game, get some more minutes before he probably starts the game at Pittodrie on Wednesday.
Alistair Johnson off and Callum McGregor is the one coming off for Celtic.
I think that's sensible. I think he's right about Engels. I mean, I don't see the big story. He's a player who's went there, started very well, but he's still young and he's just went off the boil a bit. I don't think anybody's writing him off or anything like that. I think it's only right that people make observations that, you know, that's why we're here to kind of give our opinion when players are playing well, because we were quick to say Engels looks a real player, he started really well. So when he doesn't play so well, and they've got the options on the bench, and you make a case for maybe Bernardo coming in, I think that's only fair. I don't think anyone's saying that, oh, what a waste of money this guy is, and he's never going to amount to anything. So I think Ingles, long term, be a very good signing for Celtic, but he's never going to play well every week, like you says.
Yeah, he's a young lad just getting used to Scottish football. He got off to a good start. I think that there's a great saying in football, you can tell a player. You know, you can look at Bernardo as well. You can look at Bernardo and you go, do you know, he's got everything in his locker, he'd be a top player. Ingles is the same. He's young, he's come in. The pressure was always on him. It was a heavy burden, because that price tag, as much as you're not in control of it, it's always there. You're always getting labelled with it. I think he'll go on to be a real, real good signing for Celtic.
When I think back to the two games in which Celtic have scored six goals this season, the game against St Johnstone in Perth and against Aberdeen at Hampden, Ingles played terrifically well in both of those games and scored in both of those games. You know, he is a real talent. Things happen. I watched the Liverpool-Real Madrid. Mbappe misses a penalty at one end, Salah misses a penalty at the other end. Does that mean they've suddenly become bad players?
Sam Dalby with a header that was easily saved for Dundee United. Then at the other end, Dolasanya shoots through a ruck of players, deflected out for a corner. Sam Dalby's on a good run, isn't he? I think five in his last six he's got.
good player, and I was going to say a good finish at Ibrox, but it wasn't really a good finish, was it? In terms of, it was straight at Butland. I don't know what happened there, but he's been a good find from Jim Goodwin. Scores plenty of goals.
Yeah, Tuosi Olasanya as well, mentioned him. He's one of two players at St Mirren out of contract at the end of the season that they're trying desperately to keep, along with Richard Taylor, who, both of them, big parts of that St Mirren team, but Stephen Robinson admitting that may not be able to keep a hold of them. Will be two big losses, but Stephen Robinson is used to players leaving and having to replace them.
Everyone, you know, outside the main clubs, the Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, everyone has to get used to, they come, they go. But like the Dazzler, I'm a bit surprised that there's not a goal at Tannadice. You would have thought by this stage the deadlock would have been broken.
Yeah, surprise, no goals at Rugby Park either. Kilmarnock well on top, says Roger Hanna. Indaba and Anderson have both had efforts deflected wide.
Well, we were highlighting the attacking formation that Derek set up this afternoon, all set up for goals, and against a Dundee team that with past history serves up plenty of goals, as we've seen in the past. And so far, nothing for Roger to be shouting about.
Oh, there you go, Hugh. Clydebank 1, Bucky Thistle 0, Nicky Little on the score sheet.
It would have to be Nicky Little. He is the definition of prolific for the Paper Hankies.
They are up against 10 men.
Yep, you can only keep your fingers crossed. I asked.
Is he your favourite player, Hugh? Be Nicky Little?
He's the best Clydebank player.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who's the other ones that are decent?
All of them.
I asked
Gordon Duncan when he was presiding over the draw, he'd get his Partick Thistle and he got his Bucky Thistle. But I've still got my fingers crossed for Clydebank Partick Thistle in the next round.
Well, speaking of Partick Thistle, they've just equalised against Queen's Park. It's 2-2, a Will Tizzard own goal. Is that the dream draw, Partick Thistle?
Well, the dream draw would be Celtic or Rangers, but Partick Thistle would
sit at Clydebank.
No, they wouldn't, they wouldn't have it there.
No, we do not have it there, Hugh. No, obviously change your fixture.
Where would Clydebank change your fixture to?
It's obviously Airdrie or somewhere, or Broadwood, isn't it? It's one of these stadiums.
Fairhill would be.
Well, yeah, Fairhill. Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah, good price.
Mm. Could just post it out in the car park here.
Clydebank went to play Celtic, and I'm talking 50 years ago, so don't all rush at once. And we were newly married and went to the game because we knew all the Banky boys. And it was at Celtic Park, and I'm talking Danny McGrain, Kenny Dalglish, the whole thing. And Clydebank scored first. And my new wife really didn't know anything about football, but she knew the team in green and white were Celtic. Mm. And she knew that her pals were playing on the other side. And she jumped up, and the language, you know, a bit choice. Mm. And one just basically said, "Sit down, hen." But there were lots of other ones in there as well.
I've used that phrase for years here. This is my new wife.
The difference is, I've still got mine. The same one who jumped up and climbed back to school.
Adam Ida forces a good save from Jack Hamilton, who's had to be a bit busy since coming off the bench for Ross Laidlaw. But
surprised that Celtic haven't scored again. Tends to happen in games, doesn't it? Yeah. 5-6, and then it seems to go. Is that down to the fact that Ross County just go deeper and deeper and deeper and sit with everybody behind the ball? Don't even try and get out and say, "Do you know what? You need to try and break us down."
Or is it subconsciously, you know, you're five up? I mean, as I say, the hunger is still there, but yeah, they're just that little.
Already thinking about what they're going to have for dinner.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you then try and work the perfect goal. Whether if you see some of the goals in the first half, and Ida and McGregor, and they're taking their opportunities for distance, I think that kind of helps
just
you.
Just allows you to be more patient, doesn't it, when you've got that lead.
Yeah, but I mean, the goalkeeper still worked. They've still had plenty of opportunities to add to it. Just a couple of good saves.
Do you want to give us the teaser again, Hugh?
Yep. Once I remember what I've done with it. Right. I have played alongside Casper Schmeichel, Charlie Adam and Mark Wilson. I have been managed by Paul Lambert and Neil Warnock. I was capped for Scotland, in spite of the fact I never played here.
looking to see if there are many wrong answers or just some of the answers coming in. Craig says Ekechi Anya.
No.
Ian says Jamie Mackey.
No.
And I've seen a few correct guesses in there as well. So some people are doing all right.
Did you ever play with Ekechi Anya?
I certainly did not, Hugh. No,
or
no.
Jamie Mackey?
No, 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 they were after my time. I think I'd hung the boots up by then, unfortunately.
Well, remember Mark Wilson's in there as a clue.
Someone else has said Lewis Carey.
Lewis Carey, what a guy. I did play with him at Bristol City. Lewis Carey was the captain at Bristol City. Proper Bristol accent, absolute hero down there.
Never heard of him.
Whoa, what a character he was. You would have loved him.
It's quite a rogue guess. I mean, is the player has to have played for Scotland, was that part of the question?
Yeah. Never played football in this country, no. But did play for Scotland.
Lewis Carey played one cap for Scotland under 21s.
I was going to say he did have Scottish grandparents or something like that.
Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Kilmarnock 0, Dundee 1, and it's Lyle Cameron. So, Tony Docherty, as it stands, getting the better of Derek McInnes.
Well, as I said earlier on, Kilmarnock are only 3 points above Hearts and Hibs, who are, you know, at the moment, Hibs are about to join Kilmarnock on 12 points.
I think Hibs leapfrog them goal difference,
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
what a day this could be for the Hibbies. So, all of a sudden, they were sitting there, you know, after that 3-3 draw, taking a bit of, you know, encouragement, and they could be sitting in 10th by the end of the afternoon.
Totally against the run of play, says Roger Hannett.
That's allowed.
It had been all Kilmarnock, but 1-0 to Dundee. There's going to be another change at Celtic Park. Luke McCowan's afternoon is over. Rayo Hatate comes on.
Well, you're now talking about Hatate on the park. Ingles, Arnott Ingles and Paolo Bernardo. That's some midfield.
Clydebank 2, Bucky Thistle nil, Nicky Little from the penalty spot. So Clydebank look as if they'll be in the draw for the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. Dunfermline should be as well. They're 2-0 up against Edinburgh City. Matthew Todd scoring for them.
Another one of my ex-players, Matthew Todd, good player. And good for the bankies.
Shined a few players,
a few ones that have been on too well. Yeah.
Everybody in that teleprinter that comes up, one of my ex-players.
Connections everywhere.
Played with everyone, managed
played
everyone.
Played with everyone, managed them.
Yeah, you've been busy. You've been busy, that's one thing about you.
What are we? It is, around 15 minutes or so to go in the Premiership matches. What late drama could we be in for? None at Celtic Park.
Go at Tannadice, I bet you. I don't know which way, though.
No, got to be a Kilmarnock equaliser.
Think so, Hugh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, everyone.
I'm with Mark. I think we've got to get a goal at Tannadice. I think that two teams will go for it.
Hibs on their way to 3 points, do you reckon?
Well, as everyone agrees, what a great day. You could possibly leapfrog two teams. Hearts could go bottom of the league because you put them there. And you really do feel good about the day. And Hearts against Aberdeen will be very spicy tomorrow, because the Hearts crowd, they've already sacked Stephen Naismith. Neil Critchley, if you look at all the games he's played, how many has he won? And a home defeat tomorrow would not go down well on top of what happened in Belgium midweek.
You're not putting him under pressure already, are you?
Way too early for that.
It's Christmas.
Right, when I said Stephen Naismith would lose his job, you all laughed.
Aye, but hold on a minute. Stephen Naismith, how long was he manager at Hearts?
He'd been in post for a while, and it was before Christmas, you said?
Uh-huh.
So you gave it a longer time scale.
Yeah,
Neil Critchley's been in the job, a month?
And he's not had one transfer market. So, look, Hearts shouldn't be down there with the squad they've got, but you're not going to bring a manager in then just get rid of him without even giving a transfer market.
If you think he'll get relegated, you will.
Yeah, well, I don't think they will. I think that they've obviously brought him in faith, and I think they're prepared to give him time. Look, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It could beat Aberdeen. I thought they played well Thursday night, I've got to say, and I think they deserve something out of the game. So they can take a bit of encouragement from that.
They're at home tomorrow. Aberdeen are under a wee bit pressure, not in the fact of league situation, but because of everybody was praising them about the start of the run, is beginning of the season. Can they be up there? Can they challenge Celtic? Can they finish second above Rangers? And all of a sudden, they're going into the game tomorrow, and if they get beat, they've got 1 point out of the last nine. So there's a bit of pressure on the game for both teams for me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Jimmy Thielen, you know, he's drawn 3-3 on Wednesday night with the team who were bottom of the league at that time. Now he's going to play the team who are bottom of the league tomorrow. And, you know, as you say, if he loses to them, it's 1 point in nine, and you've lost to two teams who were bottom of the league when you played them.
St Mirren and Dundee United making changes in pursuit of the opening goal in that game. Jonah Yunga is coming on for Toyosi Olasanya. Dundee United changes Molt on for Dalby and Van der Sande on for Glenn Middleton.
Van der Sande is one that's never really caught the eye. Doesn't look like he gives much to the team, but Molt is someone who is right up there in terms of can grab you a winner. So, interesting finish to the game at Tannadice.
Ooh, almost an own goal from Akil Wright. Ross County there hit his own bar. Goes out for a Celtic corner.
Well, you couldn't accuse Celtic of having lost interest. They've peppered the goal with shots. The substitute goalkeeper has had some terrific saves from Adam Ida, Alex Valle, and now he's his own teammate shooting at him. But as Daz said, it's funny how often it happens. You know, 5-0 at half time, and it's still 5-0, and the game's nearly over.
If you're Don Cowie, you're actually standing there reasonably pleased now, because at half time you're thinking this could be double figures if they keep going the way they're going. But he's organised a little bit better, made a few substitutions, lost his goalkeeper, which was a big blow to them. But so far they've kept Celtic out in the second half, and he'll get in and he'll say, look, we drew 0-0 with Celtic second half, we've got to take confidence from that.
Peyton Anabie coming on for Motherwell, Campbell and Gale for Hibs.
Well, if Motherwell can sneak one back, then that really is testing times. If they can't, then maybe shows Hugh, the Motherwell fan, was on the right lines in terms of performance and that catching up with him, because that was his point, that when Motherwell won a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, the performances will catch up with you. And that's a worry. But I mean, sure, Kyle, well, look at the league, he's sitting there in fifth place at the minute, so, you know, no disaster.
Well, that would be, what would that be, two in the last six. They lost four out of six, and they got two away games coming up. I think it's Dundee and then St Mirren, which are difficult, because Dundee are beating Kilmarnock this afternoon. St Mirren's always a difficult place to go and get a result. But you're right, Mark, he's sitting there in the top six, and you would have taken that long before the season started.
St Mirren would drop into the bottom six if Dundee won that match. It would be a right good day for Tony Docherty.
Yeah, I think just on that Hibs game, David Friel was saying Hibs are looking pretty comfortable at the moment. Motherwell really not creating anything, any sort of danger. But you do wonder, just given the state that Hibs are in at the moment, if Motherwell managed to nick one, then it may rattle Hibs a bit. Yeah,
just fragile, Andrew, at the back. And I guess we've been there before. When you think everything's going against you, you just don't want to get too comfortable and you concede one and you collapse. So 15 minutes pulled out.
But it doesn't sound like Motherwell are coming anywhere near to a goal.
Oh, this could be interesting. VAR review with M&D Green Pharmacy. Penalty check for Dundee United. Penalty given. So they will have the chance from the spot to take the lead over St Mirren.
He'll put it away.
Does he take the penalty kicks?
I don't know, but I'm going to say, if you were a striker, you'd grab the ball, wouldn't you?
All day. Yeah, that's your
responsibility.
Yeah, that's, you take the glory. Get the ball down, put it in the back of net. Job done. You can look at the other players and say, I've done my job.
I'm the hero.
Yeah. I'll be headlines. Roger,
that penalty hasn't even been taken yet, and we've got one of these elsewhere. Goal flashes.
with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Kilmarnock 1, Dundee 1. Youngster Bobby Wales off the bench, onto the score sheet, high into the net. And is it going to be another draw between Kilmarnock and Dundee like we saw last season, or is there going to be a winner late on in that one?
They're finished, they're done.
You think so?
Yeah.
I've got sneaky, if they're going to be a winner, it'll be Kilmarnock. Home advantage, plenty of attacking players, get a wee lift.
Kevin Holt steps up to take the penalty for Dundee United. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. Dundee United have the lead over St Mirren. It's all happening in the last few minutes.
Well, do Dundee United join Rangers in terms of points?
Yes, they would. 23 points if it stays that way, Hugh. Just pounding goal difference.
Yeah, goal difference would only be two worse off.
Yeah, very good. You've got to say from Dundee United this season, don't think any of is expected them to be this high in the table. I had them for a top six finish, I think, but I thought they might come good late in the season. Didn't think they'd start this well. So if it stays that way, very good 3 points again.
Alex Valle is going to come off and Greg Taylor on.
Good use of the squad.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder then what that means for midweek, who'll occupy that position.
The big story about Alex Valle was yesterday when Barcelona said they were quite happy with the way he was progressing at Celtic and would not be recalling him in January. So Celtic can look forward to having the choice of Alex Valle or Greg Taylor, and I always stand up for Greg Taylor. I think he's a whipping boy for some Celtic fans. I don't think he lets the club down at all. We had someone last night on Super Scoreboard who said he's not up to the Champions League level. Unfair, because Celtic as a team have done well in the Champions League this season, and Greg Taylor's been part of it.
Stranraer 1, Broxbourne Athletic 1, Elliot Dunlop with the goal.
How's Banksy D? Is he still
2-1? They pulled a goal back. I think they are 2-1 down to Hamilton.
So take it, takes a time.
Potential for an upset,
not got
maybe
a floodlight,
late trauma.
Yeah, that was your theory in the last round.
No floodlights.
I think they do. I hope they do, because it'll be dark by the time my game is finishing tomorrow.
Interestingly, Roger Hannah's pointed out that Alejandro Balde, who is the Barcelona left back, sustained an injury today against Las Palmas. And you do wonder if that proves to be a significant injury, whether that may change the loan status of Alex Valle.
I was going to say, do you go back on your word? But
no, you
it's
can't.
Football we're talking about.
They'll have about 20 other right backs in there, Barcelona.
Yeah. They just don't have one.
But he was involved in pre-season for Barcelona, played a couple of games for them. Certainly you'd expect would be an option that they'll think about. And a club like Barcelona probably wouldn't think twice about how it affects Celtic. If they need a player and they feel he's a better option, whether it is just to come back and sit on the bench and someone else plays, or whether they think he can go in and play, then you wonder if it could change the situation.
Brendan Rodgers would rather if it didn't change the situation, because I think Alex Valle offers him a very clever option when Greg Taylor has to be replaced, or whether he starts in preference to Greg Taylor. So he'd rather, much rather he stayed.
Good game between Elgin City and Kelty Hearts. Kelty Hearts have pulled it back to 3-2. Ross Cunningham from the penalty spot. 4 minutes to go in that game for Kelty Hearts to try and get an equaliser. Force that one to extra time.
How is Partick in Queen's Park still?
Still 2-2.
Deadlocked.
2-2.
Yeah, so there's definitely going to be late drama.
That would be a shot, that one, Elgin, would it not? Elgin top of the League 2, but Kelty top of League 1, so
yep.
Good result for Elgin.
Bucky Thistle have actually had two red cards now
against hooligans.
Clydebank.
That wee pub across the road, they must know they're doing a happy
hour. They love it.
They've told the Bucky players, happy hour, and they love it. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Motherwell 0, Hibs 3. Josh Campbell on the score sheet. It gets even worse for Motherwell and even better for David Gray.
Well, now he can relax, can't he?
Oh, completely. This is Christmas come early for David Gray.
Far Park emptying, says David Friel.
Hearts bottom of the league, Hibs up to 10th place. Stuart Kettlewell is the, I mean, let's be honest, Hibs were everyone's idea of the worst team in the Premiership, and they've just won 3-0 at your place, and the ground's emptying. So you as the manager are going to get it in the neck.
Well, we can make one prediction. Hugh will be on the phone tonight. That is the biggest prediction we can make.
Yeah,
Motherwell fans, you know, obviously I live there, local celeb hero. And when I'm going about the town, a lot of them have been. I like Stuart Kettlewell. I think he's doing a really good job sitting up there in the top six and losing players, but get plenty of back in the summer, you know, brought a lot of players in, and good players at that, had one or two injuries to key players, but he's just went, they've went off the boil, let's say. They've went off the ball and they've got two difficult away games now.
Look at it this way, it's a bad day, a very, very bad day, but they're still 10 points in front of Hearts.
Who said Hibs have goalkeeping issues? The goal came from a long punt from Jordan Smith.
An assist.
The old days.
Like that, yeah.
The old days. Get it in days, the mixer. Yeah.
Go away, short step, shortcut step, hoof it.
Probably is wise for just a Hibs goalkeeper at the moment, just to try and get the ball as far away from your goal as possible at any opportunity.
Plus the fact, you've got to look, right? You're talking about the goalkeeper there, and they have got problems. See if he gets a clean sheet. It's amazing the confidence that gives you. So give them a bit of credit. I know we give them a bit of criticism when they deserve it, but all credit to Hibs today.
Oh, so it's not actually an assist from the goalkeeper. I think he punted it up to Dwight Gale, who must have played it on to Josh Campbell. But anyway, he was involved. Greg Taylor hits the post for Celtic, still unable to add to that 5-0 lead they went into the break with.
Well, they've hit the woodwork three times in the second half. So it's not as if they've taken their foot off the gas, just not yielding the same results in terms of goals, second period.
Brendan Rodgers can be nothing other than extremely happy with the way the day has gone. He's moved players in and out, and he's got five goals and five different goal scorers, and the goal difference is now way, way, way out of sight of anyone else, and he's 14 points ahead of Rangers, and he's 5 points ahead of Aberdeen, and they have to go to Tynecastle tomorrow, and so on and so forth, and then they meet on Wednesday. So everything, domestically speaking, is going Brendan Rodgers' way.
We'll wrap this up in case there's any late drama.
The second half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Casper Schmeichel, Charlie Adam and Mark Wilson. I have been managed by Paul Lambert and Neil Warnock. I was capped for Scotland in spite of the fact I never played here. I am Barry Bannon.
Barry Bannon, who of course played with Mark Wilson for Scotland.
Scotland, yeah. Yep.
Where did he play with Paul Lambert?
Was managed by Paul Lambert.
Whereabouts? Norrie, Jane never played with them.
Aye.
Did Lambert manage Sheffield?
He was in Crystal. Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and then Neil Warnock was Crystal Palace. Third place, Rin. Second place, Greg's Gardens. But first place, quickest off the mark, Jamie Dock. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, good one, that. Got the same kind of hair as yourself, but you're getting that sorted. Yeah, same kind of.
Who has? Barry Bannon?
Aye.
Damn, we'll go for a 2-for-1. Sort that out.
Oh, a late goal for Cove Rangers over Inverness. Declan Glass from the penalty spot. So it looks as if they will be going through to the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. Musselburgh Athletic as well, 3-1 up against Bowness United now.
It's a blow for Inverness that, because in the next round of the Cup, they're a team that could do with the finances.
Dumbarton got through to the next round, and you know they're in a similar sorrowful position.
Oh yeah, producer Chris has sent me some audio. So apparently it's not the first time we've had Barry Bannon as an answer on the teaser. I have no idea what this audio is.
There can't be many of these that have played for Scotland. Double barrel surname.
Oh, Barry Bannon. Is it not?
That's not what double barrel means.
Barry Bannon.
Do you know what I was thinking? The exact same thing. See there, I was thinking the exact same thing, isn't it? Right, okay, producer Chris.
Penalty to Dundee United.
Yes.
They've got a chance to double their lead from the spot. You'd expect Kevin Holt will take that. Louis Molt brought down by Fraser. So they could wrap up 3 points against St Mirren. Adam Idaz forced another good save out of Jack Hamilton, who seems as if he's had a good second half.
Right, yeah, done okay.
5 minutes added at Rugby Park, so I wonder if we could get a late winner between Kilmarnock and Dundee. Ayr United are 2-0 up against Morton. Jamie Murphy scoring, so they will be in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup.
And when is the fourth round draw?
Tomorrow.
Is
it? Can it be after the East Kilbride Falkirk game? Monday night.
Oh, yeah. That'll be good.
May not be a penalty to Dundee United. It's gone to VAR as Moses Ebiye hits the post for Motherwell.
Ach, well, it's too late for Motherwell anyway. Oh,
only 86 minutes gone, David Friel says.
Even Hibs couldn't blow this. 3-0 up. Even the cabbage and ribs could not blow this.
We will see. It certainly looks as if there is a few things happening at the tail end of the games today. Remember, the open line will be here after full time in all these games. 01419511025 on the phones for you to get your calls in after we've had the full time reports from the Premiership matches.
Maybe you've got some. Where the controversy will come, the controversy will come from the Motherwell Hibs game. The Celtic fans, I think, would want to praise their side and maybe tell us why it was 5-0 at half time and 5-0 at full time. So the Rangers fans will want to know if this 14 point lead that Celtic have over their team, can it be eaten into tomorrow? It must be eaten into, or else the result against Nice might never have happened for all helps Philippe Clement.
Well, the referee is going to the screen at Tannadice, which may mean that that penalty isn't going to stand. 5 minutes added there, and probably a bit extra if the referee is over at the VAR screen at the moment.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay in the end, but Jim will want that given, obviously, to make it a wee bit more comfortable, but I think they'll see it out regardless.
Stenhouse Muir safely through to the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. Ewan O'Reilly getting his hat-trick on 93 minutes, 5-0 up. Yeah. 2 minutes added at Celtic Park.
And won't Don Cowie be happy to have those 2 minutes come and go? But I do think that at half time he must have feared a catastrophic result. But 5-0 can happen.
I've not got to say you'll be happy, but I think you'll take a big sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Because we've been in that camp losing 7 and against quality teams that certainly can come out and make it anything they wanted. And you're just praying that you get out there with, right, okay, I would take 5. 0-0 at half time, second half. Let's get out and regroup.
Penalty stands, and Fraser, who committed the foul, has been booked for a second time and is sent off. So it's going to be a penalty, and Kevin Holt to take again to wrap up the 3 points for Dundee United.
Would you go the same way?
However, saved.
He's went the same way.
The goalkeeper saved it.
Yeah, Ellery Balcombe in the St Mirren goal. You wonder, with 5 minutes added, probably all of that still to go, could that boy St Mirren?
No.
Not having it.
Done and dusted. Down to 10 men.
Livingston 2-0 winners against Brora. Whose shout was that again for the?
That was mine.
Oh, your initial shout before
brave
you.
Effort. Yep.
Changed it.
That was never happening, was it?
No, I changed it. The other game, I think, still tied at 1-1.
Fair play to Davy Martindale. All season long, League Cup, whatever, they're hanging in there, Libby. They could yet come back up to the Premiership, and we'll all have to put up with that pitch of theirs.
Full time at Celtic Park, Gabriel.
Yes, it's all over here. Celtic 5, Ross County 0. A 5-star first half performance from the champions, with 5 different scorers, sending them 5 points clear at the top of the table for the first time this season. Brendan Rodgers made 6 changes before the game. One of them was defender Liam Scales, who opened the scoring in the 10th minute. A great header coming in off the underside of the bar from an in-swinging Luke McCowan corner. And it was roles reversed for the second. A lifted ball over the top from the Irishman. He found McCowan, who had made a darting run from midfield. A touch and finish past Ross Laidlaw. Another change player, Paolo Bernardo, got the third. His first effort was blocked, but he tucked away it comfortably at the second time of asking. Just a minute later, Andrew, it was for captain Callum McGregor with a thunderous strike from 25 yards. His sixth league goal this season. He is the top scorer in the Premiership. And then Adam Eder followed his captain's example just before the interval, curling the ball in from outside the box as well. Another lovely finish. And that was the scoring done, but not for the want of trying from the team in green and white. They hit the woodwork three times in the second half. Adam Eder also forced several good stops from substitute goalkeeper Jack Hamilton, but yep, it stayed at five. County were dreadful today, but they'll look back at this result and think it could have been a lot worse. They remain eighth in the table, whilst it's a near perfect day for Brendan Rodgers. They are now 14 points ahead of Rangers, and we are still in November. They lead Aberdeen at the top of the table by 5 points, and they head to Pittodrie on Wednesday night. Full time here, it's Celtic 5, Ross County 0.
I did say, would that missed penalty from Dundee United, would it buoy St Mirren?
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
No, St Mirren 0, Dundee United 2, Adeboyega securing the points for Dundee United. A missed penalty from Kevin Holt. It was saved by Ellery Balcombe a few moments ago, but Adeboyega has put them 2-0 ahead. We've got full time at Rugby Park, Roger Hanna.
We do, Andrew. Kilmarnock 1, Dundee 1. And this pair would really just be best starting the games after 70 minutes with all the late drama that they have. In their third meeting in just 8 weeks, it was another frantic finale and a share of the spoils, which Tony Doherty will probably be happier with than his old pal Derek McInnes. The first half, basically a non-event. Dundee started brightly. Jordan McGee testing Robbie McCrory inside 5 minutes. Kelly ending the first half brightly with Kyle Vassell having a shot deflected wide just before the break. But the second half, far better. Kilmarnock in the front foot really for most of the half. John McCracken, a terrific save to deny Gary Mackay. Stephen, the excellent Antonio Fertales, a couple of big blocks in the Dundee box to deny Kilmarnock, but just as it looked as if McInnes' men might get a breakthrough, Dundee scored completely against the run of play. Terrific work down the left hand side for substitute Sean Adewumi. He cut the ball back and there was Lyle Cameron to get a terrific accurate shot high into the Kilmarnock net for his fifth goal of the season. But when these two play, you just knew that wasn't going to be the final word. McInnes threw on Danny Armstrong, Liam Polworth and Bobby Wales, and the homegrown striker responded just 2 minutes later with an equaliser high past McCracken. There was drama to come. McCrory had to save from Adewumi at one end. There was a Kilmarnock penalty claim when Ennis Cameron went down under the challenge of Billy Cometia just as the game went into 5 added minutes. But in the end, and for the first time this season, there wasn't to be a last-minute winner for either side. A share of the spoils, Dundee probably have got away with one. Kilmarnock 1, Dundee 1.
Full time at Fir Park as well, David Friel.
Yeah, full time, Andrew. Motherwell now, Hibs 3. The Hibs players are mobbing each other. They are lapping this up. You don't know if you heard the jeers there from the home end. Motherwell fans are not happy. But what a day for David Gray and his Hibs players. After 2.5 months of misery, 2.5 months without a league win, they are finally celebrating 3 points. Junior Hoylett, Mikola Kuharevich and Josh Campbell all scored as Hibs moved off bottom spot and sent Hearts to the foot of the Premiership table. Hibs were on a 9-game winless run going into this one, but they were good value for their 3 points. Motherwell fans, as I said, are far from happy, but you need to give credit to Hibs for a real team display. We've spoken so often about them having a soft centre and not being solid enough, but they limited Motherwell to very, very few chances and took theirs at the other end. It definitely eases pressure on David Gray, and he will hope that this can kick-start their season. Junior Hoylett put Hibs ahead 26 minutes with the game's first shot on target. Nicky Cadden's cross. Nicky Cadden was excellent all afternoon. It was completely missed by Motherwell keeper Aston Oxbrot. Hoylett, he's a wily old player. He gambled at the back post and produced a really nice finish. And then 38 minutes, it was 2-0. Nicky Cadden again involved. His corner was flicked on by Eli Yuan. Jack Ardell tried to finish at the back post. His effort was blocked, but Kuharevich was on hand to put the ball over the line. Motherwell fans weren't happy at that stage. Stuart Kettlewell sent on Zach Robinson for the second half. He did have half a chance from a corner, but Jordan Smith made a decent save. And the Hibs keeper badly at fault against Aberdeen in midweek, then had a hand in Josh Campbell's third in 81 minutes. His long punt was headed down by Dwight Gale, and Campbell did the rest. Moses Abaye did hit the post late on for Motherwell, but it was too little too late. Hibs were really comfortable as they secured a rare clean sheet and 3 massive points to move off the bottom of the Premiership table. What a day for David Gray. He's clapping the fans right now. He's lapping this up. Full time, Motherwell now, Hibs 3.
still playing at Tannadice between Dundee United and St Mirren. In fact, it is full time now. We will go and get the full time story from Dave Galloway after the break, but now it is time to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. The lines are open. We want to hear maybe its thoughts on today's action. Celtic fans, what did you make of that performance against Ross County? How did the first half compare to the second half? 5-0 up at half time. No more goals in that one, but extending the lead at the top of the table over Aberdeen and Rangers, who are both in action tomorrow. Motherwell fans, where did it go wrong today up against Hibs, who are bottom of the table? Is that a concerning display? Is it a concerning result? And Hibs fans, I want to hear from you as well, because what did you make of that performance? A 3-0 win. I'm not sure many, if anyone, saw that coming. That is a huge victory for David Gray. There is, you know, Dundee United and St Mirren. Dundee United beating St Mirren 2-0. Kilmarnock and Dundee 1-1 draw. And of course, Rangers fans, tomorrow after that 4-1 win against Nice on Thursday, what does Philippe Clement need to do tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
The Premiership action for today is over, and now we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Celtic 5-0 winners over Ross County. A really good first half display. Celtic trying to add to that in the second half, weren't able to, but tested goalkeeper Jack Hamilton a good few times. Full time between Dundee United and St Mirren, 2-0 it was in the end. There was a late Marcus Fraser red card as well. Kilmarnock 1, Dundee 1, and Motherwell 0, Hibs 3. Scottish Cup third round. Some games still going on, of course, because plenty have gone to extra time. I think maybe 4 in total. But a good win for Clydebank. Hamilton beating Banks of Dee. Ayr United are through after victory against Morton. Dunfermline through as well. Livingston, Raith, Musselburgh Athletic. It's into extra time between Queen's Park and Partick Thistle, who are 2-2. And in extra time, Broxbourne Athletic are 2-1 up against Stranraer. Let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Hugh, what do you take away from today's games?
Well, first of all, let's start at the top. Celtic, immense appetite for the game. Scored 5, might have scored 10, but for the woodwork and good work by the goalkeeper in the second half. They've done their part of the bargain. They're 14 points ahead of Rangers. That's the most important thing for the Celtic fans. They probably discount Aberdeen. They only think about Rangers. 14 points. The pressure's on Philippe Clement tomorrow at Perth. When you look at the bottom half of the table, Andrew, the bottom six teams are separated by 7 points. That's not a monumental gap. So a bit of a log jam is going to develop down at the bottom. But for Hibs, a red letter day. They put Hearts to the bottom of the table. They go above not only Hearts but Kilmarnock. And for David Gray, just a terrific come back from the 3-3 draw against Aberdeen. But for Motherwell, the fact that Motherwell on their own pitch have lost 3-0 to the team who started the day bottom of the table, and let's be honest, a bit of a laughing stock within Scottish football, they've just taken Motherwell apart.
Kilmarnock did get that equaliser, so, yeah, so Kilmarnock stay above Hibs because they got a point.
I was the same, and I was just listening to you. I agree with you. I thought it was a very professional performance from Celtic's afternoon. Made 6 changes, got off to the best start. Credit to Ross County. That could have been a real sore one. The dug in second half must have been so difficult there, under pressure just constantly. You look at my own team, Motherwell. I think we'll get a few unhappy Motherwell fans on this phone in tonight, but well done to Hibs. David Gray certainly needed a result. It's been a positive week. They got a point against Aberdeen, and then 3 points today. Kilmarnock and Dundee, obviously that draw, not surprised with that. And well done to everyone that went through in the Scottish Cup third round this afternoon.
Yeah, big win for Hibs, as you say. Big win for Dundee United, because, you know, 3 points puts them level on points with Rangers. They have played, is it 2 games more than Rangers now?
Yeah,
I think they've played, but 23 points into, well, staying in fourth place. Jim Goodwin's season going well.
Well, they've only lost three games this season, so I think it's a remarkable start for Dundee United. When you come up, you revamp your squad, you change the formation, you add new players to that, and you're sitting there in fourth with what we're looking at, six wins this season. I think it's really good stuff from Dundee United. Obviously, home form's going to be key, so well done to them. Celtic, you know, five different scorers, job done, no more than expected, really. But result of the day obviously goes to David Gray and Hibs, one that he can go home tonight and enjoy. He's not had many of those evenings.
01419511025 on the phones. Whether it's today's action or whether it's tomorrow's action you're interested in, St Johnston against Rangers, Hearts against Aberdeen, Celtic's result, the performance, maybe just adds even a bit more pressure onto the two of those to try and see if they can get anywhere close to Celtic.
Well, first of all, Aberdeen, people spoke of them as title challengers, or at least capable of splitting Celtic and Rangers and finishing second. Now Celtic are 5 points clear of them. They meet on Wednesday night. The Aberdeen can't afford to lose that game on Wednesday night. With regard to Rangers, the result on the Riviera was magnificent, and you cannot detract from it. But they play well on Thursdays and take the weekend off. That can't happen tomorrow, because the gap is now getting embarrassing between themselves and Celtic. They cannot possibly drop anything in Perth.
Scottish Cup action today as well. Some of those still going on. Brecon City have gone 2-1 up against Cowdenbeath. Brad Mackay in extra time. It's looking good for them. The games that are still going on, 2-2 between Forfar and Stirling in extra time. 2-2 between Queen's Park and Partick Thistle in extra time. Broxburn 2-1 up against Stranraer. Good win for Clydebank, Hugh.
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to the draw on Monday night. You know, the Clydebank, very important place for me for 40 odd years of my life, and the football club, very important. And I'd love to see them get a very good draw and get some money into the club. And just for the sheer thrill of my family going to see Clydebank playing a really big club in the next round would be nice.
Brendan Rodgers made changes for Celtic today, lots of changes. Who do you feel gave him food for thought going into a big game away to Aberdeen on Wednesday?
Well, I think Bernardo's done himself no harm, obviously scoring, but playing pretty well, and I think he's one at the forefront of everyone's mind, probably including the manager. I think he might start, by the way, at Pittodrie. Luke McCown did well with the time he's got on the pitch, but I don't think he'll be able to force himself, and I think it will be Engels or Hatate take that other spot. Alex Vai is one that's an interesting one, because Greg Taylor plays the position so well, that inverted fullback. But Vai showed a run of form just now. So comfortable in the ball, good getting forward, plays forward passes that Brendan Rodgers might think about. I think he'll revert back to type in terms of skills will come out, and trust he'll go in. Alistair Johnson will be at right back as well. So, and Kyogo probably come back in the team. I think he'd have done well, but I think come Wednesday night, Kyogo will be back in.
01419511025. Riley is a Celtic fan up first. Riley, were you at the game today?
Well, that's the thing. I was at the game till half time, where me and my dad looked at the game and we went, let's just go home at half time, because see what's going on with Celtic now. I don't think many Celtic fans are going to agree what I say here, but see being a Celtic fan now watching Scottish football, it's getting a bit boring watching Scottish football now being a Celtic fan.
You left the game when Celtic were 5-0 up at half time?
At half time, yes.
What you overlook, Riley, you and your dad, is that this is what Brendan Rodgers aspires to be. He aspires to have the best team in Scotland without question, and he wants them to do well in Europe as well. So it's not a bad thing that he's way in front of every other club. That's what he plans for. It's for the other clubs to do what they can to lift their standards. So I think you possibly have it in the wrong order here. The applause should go to Celtic for showing the mentality after the game against Bruges to go out there and get a 5-goal lead. Yes, Ross County are way behind them and haven't won a game on the road for 15 months. But surely you stick with your own team in praise of the manager who built it.
Did you not get any enjoyment out of that first half?
I was going to say, Andrew, Riley, why did you leave the game at 5-0?
I'm going to be honest. It's correct what you're saying there. Yes, it's the Portland School game at Celtic. Yes, it's fair. Celtic are top of the league, right? But the thing is, it's not entertaining. See, when you see one club just dominate Scottish football, as I said, Aberdeen now 5.5 Celtic with a game with the game tomorrow. Rangers being 14.5 Celtic. I don't feel like there's a club now in Scotland that can push Celtic. I'm not saying Aberdeen have not done good this season.
I was going to say, Riley, so at half time when Celtic were 2-0 up against Aberdeen, did you just go, ah, there's no challenge, I'm away at half time?
No, of course not.
So what, why even go to the game at all today if you didn't think there was a challenge here for Brendan Rodgers' side?
I'm going to be brutally honest, that's a fair point you've said there. I went today, right, and I thought Ross was going to do what he did at Dingwall and put us through to the last minute for Nicholas couldn't score. I thought we were doing the same thing with Dingwall at Parkhead, because Ross Kennedy at Dingwall dominated Celtic till the last minute of the match, where Celtic struggled to get the win.
So you think they can come to Celtic Park and take on a Celtic team in their home patch and dominate them like they did at Dingwall? Because if that's the case, I now understand why you left at half time.
No, I just think. See, sometimes I feel like sometimes Celtic can see Celtic walk out of Europe, and as I say, the draw was that. But sometimes Celtic walk out of Europe, right, and the Scottish teams can take advantage of a Celtic team who haven't performed well in Europe, like the Dortmund win. We've done that, and then we struggled against Ross County. I thought it would also happen with Bruges. Got a 1-1 result.
So Celtic are damned if they do and damned if they don't, because if they don't beat Ross County, you would reserve the right to be extremely critical. And if they do beat Ross County by too many goals, then you're critical of that as well.
I've never heard a situation where fans are leaving the ground because their team's too good.
Surely the very core of being a football supporter is the joy of watching your team win and score goals, Riley. Do you not get the enjoyment from that?
Now, this moment in time with Celtic and Scotland, I don't see the enjoyment. I think, and I hate, I'm a fan to say Celtic should move out of England, because that is not what Celtic should do. Celtic is a Scottish club, and I'm happy being a Scottish club. I just think that, you know, being a Celtic fan, it's just a bit boring sitting there watching my team go out and get big results.
Do you know what, Riley? I think you should donate your season ticket to a Celtic fan who can't afford to buy one.
I'd like to see Riley's season ticket. Let me tell you now, I'm not having Riley.
I'd love to know what supporters of the 41 other SPFL clubs must be thinking listening to this, that bored of football because your team are 5-0 up at half time.
It's contradictory what Riley says, because he says he wanted something like Ross County and, you know, push to the edge, but then he's saying there's no challenge, it's all a bit boring. Was it boring that day when Celtic snatched it? What about a couple of weeks ago at Rugby Park? Celtic just coming off the back of an unbelievable performance against Leipzig. They go to Rugby Park. Kilmarnock could be 2 or 3 up, but Celtic have to ride it out, and then they get 2 goals, of course. And so there is competition there. Celtic are being pushed in different ways. There is always going to be afternoons like this when you've got a squad as good as Celtic at home against Ross County. I called it before the game. I said to Hugh and Daz, this will be a 5 today, because you see the quality players coming into the squad with a point to prove. But there'll be other days that Celtic will be pushed to the edge, like Aberdeen a month ago, where it's 2-2. So contradicts himself a bit, wants competition, wants to be pushed, but just, you know.
If the league is a lot more competitive, Riley, Celtic then draw more games, Celtic then lose more games, would you rather that than Celtic go unbeaten?
I would love to see us unbeaten, but see what I'm meaning by I'm getting a wee bit bored. It's because we saw it last week, went up to Tynecastle, struggled the first half, right, fair point, but then we dominated Hearts the rest of that half with a 4-1-1. Then a week later, on the Saturday night, we went against Ross County and we basically done the same first half.
I'm sorry, but I just don't get what you're on about. You are literally impossible to please. Celtic scored 9 goals in 2 games, and you're finding fault with it.
Celtic weren't good last week for 45 minutes, were they?
Yeah,
First half. So it was opposite. They had to dig in again, come out, rejuvenate, and then find a way to get themselves ahead and score four goals.
At least they beat the traffic. Well done, Riley.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to Riley.
He's in the Ford at 3:45, wasn't he?
Thank you to Riley. Mark is a Celtic fan in Cumbernauld. Mark, what did you take away from today's game? Did you go? Did you stay for 90 minutes?
I actually didn't go. I gave my ticket to my... Sorry, good afternoon, gents. Sorry about that.
Hello.
I didn't go. I gave my ticket to my boy. So
I was hoping you weren't going to say you gave your ticket to Riley, who just phoned in before.
I gave it to my son, and because I was there on Wednesday, so I gave him the chance to go. And I've got 121, 117, and my kids have seen Celtic win pretty much everything in Scotland, and they haven't seen much bad times. But I don't know a fan in the world that wouldn't want their team to win every game and be delighted that they're winning 5-0, regardless of the league they're playing in. But that's not my point, that's just a wee point for Riley there, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's going to be many people agreeing with no. Riley. Mark, what did you take away from today's game? Was there anything that you feel, you know, gives Brendan Rodgers food for thought going forward in terms of team selection?
Well, Celtic made 6 changes, you know, and they've got a real strong squad. Everybody knows that, they're real strong. But I thought the guy stood at a mile of the day, and I know Mark was talking about it just earlier there with Bernardo, but I thought Luke McKerrin was excellent today. I thought Celtic paid £1 million for a guy who put the captain of Dundee, and he's maybe forgotten about it, even the Celtic fans sometimes, because he's a Scottish player and he's brought in for Scotland, but... As far as I'm aware, he scored a goal today and he got 3 assists. He was outstanding, and when you can recruit a guy like that for £1 million and bring him in for Engels or Hatate, then you can't be going far wrong, you know.
He's a great bit of business, you've got to say. Great bit of business. I was a bit sceptical about it when it happened. I'm thinking, right, okay, £1 million.
Look, forget at the, he almost went to Hibs,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the midfield and the commentary. I'm thinking he's never got to get in that midfield. All credit to the boy. He's come in there. He looks like a guy that's been at Celtic for a long, long time. He's settled into a big, big club. You knew the pressure because how he felt about the club. He's been a supporter, always wanted to play. He's been excellent. It's just that he finds himself in that department where you can make a case for every single one of them. The quality they've got in there is incredible. But he's certainly putting himself out there. And I was looking on my phone, I just seen the end of Celtic game, and I see Brendan Rodgers right after the game getting talking to him, and, you know, maybe just encouraging him again, telling him how well he's doing. Celtic fans are loving him. Really, it's been a good, good bit of business.
He's the one that represents the fans in the park, because he's the one who was born and brought up a Celtic fan and achieves the dream. People talk about living the dream. Luke McKerrin is living the dream, and that's why the Celtic supporters have a special place for him in their hearts. It does appear to be the case that he's behind Paolo Bernardo and Arne Engels in the queue when it comes to Champions League matches. That may remain the case. We shall find out when Celtic go to Croatia to play Dinamo Zagreb on the 10th of December. But he has been a great piece of business, as Gordon Dale said. £1 million now for Celtic is, you know, not a lot of money, but it was well spent in the case of Luke McKerrin.
Mark, do you think he's capable of breaking his way into Celtic's starting 11 when it comes round to the big games, the European nights? Do you think that Luke McKerrin's capable of making it so that Brendan Rodgers has to choose him, essentially?
I don't see why not. I understand, you know, they've got guys there, Rio Tati, Bernardo and Engels, because nobody's replacing McGregor. But I can't see why not. He's got all the attributes. You know, I think he's actually a far better player than people give him credit for. He's a really good creative footballer, and he creates the space. Now, I know we're playing against Ross County, no disrespect to them, but you're playing up against a low block, if people want to call it, and they're penned in, and he was pinging some passes around all over the place. So I can't see why they don't want to play him as competition for places, which we're all looking for, like, you know.
How tough a task does he have breaking into that Celtic starting midfield? Because I'm not sure that anyone would expect that he'll start at Pittodrie on Wednesday in a huge game. At what point, what does he need to do to make his way into that team?
Maybe not what he needs to do. I mean, well, listen, what he needs to do is what he did today. He gets a start, he scores a goal, he has big involvement in other goals, so he's done his part. But it's what others need to do. I think others need to play poorly over a number of weeks for him to get the chance, because let's be honest, right, let's be totally honest, there's levels here. Hatate and Bernardo are levels above McCown. That's just the God's honest truth. But McCown's a very, very good player, so when he gets the opportunity like he does today and he scores, then he just puts that thought in Brendan Rodgers' head. If it comes to a big European game on Wednesday, if it was to come around Wednesday, let's again, Luke McCown wouldn't find himself in the starting lineup because the work Hatate's already done, the work Bernardo's already done, Engels comes for, you know, X amount of millions, they are just ahead of him. So they need to play consistently, poorly, and McCown just needs to keep chipping away to get a chance. And I hope he does get a run of games because he is a good player. But I think he'll understand where he is at the minute. I think he'll understand coming into an environment like Celtic that he's going to have to be patient.
I think a lot of his form when he comes on is down to the fact that sometimes you go into that midfield, especially Celtic with the quality, you could get caught up in that. As a player that's played with Dundee, a move to Hibs or whatever, you're thinking, oh, is that a better move? You end up at Celtic, £1 million, want to be there. You get into that midfield. I think he's thrived off playing with the quality that he's playing with. I really do. I think he's just risen to the challenge. He must enjoy it. He knows that he's playing with top players, and there's not a better feeling. The boy's doing very well.
Well, thank you to Mark on the line. Any more thoughts on that Celtic game or any of today's action? Or maybe you want to turn your attention to tomorrow's matches, St Johnstone Rangers, Hearts against Aberdeen. More of your calls, and we'll hear from some of the managers next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in before 6 o'clock on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025. Celtic with a big win over Ross County, 5-0 winners. But our first caller tonight decided to leave at half time because he was bored of Celtic cruising to victory. Dundee United 2-0 winners over St Mirren. Kilmarnock and Dundee drawing 1-1. Hibs big winners, 3-0 away to Motherwell. I'm not sure anyone saw that coming. There are some Scottish Cup games still going on in extra time. Brechin 3-1 up against Cowdenbeath, so they'll be in the draw for the next round. 3-3 between Forfar and Stirling. Still 2-2 between Queen's Park and Partick Thistle. Broxburn 2-1 up against Stranraer. They're a couple of minutes away from going into the fourth round draw. Let's go back to the phones. Helen is a Celtic fan up next. Helen, what did you take away from today?
I'm just going in to say I didn't think I would ever agree with Hugh Keevans, but what he said to the last caller was spot on. How can you call yourself a Celtic fan and leave at half-time when your team are winning 5-0? Do you mean there's plenty of people sitting on a waiting list, waiting on season tickets? If I was that guy, I would give up a season ticket right now. I mean, there's people crying out for season tickets, and this clown is leaving at half time because we're 5-0 up and the quality of the goals were unbelievable. How can you call yourself a Celtic fan?
Well, Helen, he is a Celtic fan, but he's a misguided Celtic fan. And I was being serious. It's that time of the year, and you know yourself, Helen, the work that Celtic's charity foundation do, incredible sums of money raised and lots of people looked after. Why not, if it bores you, why not just donate your season ticket for the remainder of the season to someone who can't afford one?
People support their teams in different ways, but I'm just looking at our Twitter feed at the moment and
saying he's not a Celtic fan.
Well, either that or just people just cannot believe what they heard from.
Like, see, at the end of the day, let's be honest, I agree with everything Helen said before we start here, but at the end of the day, if he has got a season ticket and he's paid his money, he's entitled to do what he wants. You know what I mean? But listen, I'm not arguing his side. I'm just saying he's entitled to do what he's want. He's paid his money. If he doesn't feel that that's value in the second half and he's getting turned off with it, then fine, on you go. As I say, the benefits is you do miss the traffic in your home early.
But Helen makes a great point. It's not like it's boring football. It's exciting football. They're creating chances. They're hitting the bar in the second half. They're bringing on other players. They're playing at such a pace. The goals that they're scoring, McGregor's goal was a magnificent goal, magnificent strike for outside the box. You can talk about other goals, the performances of Bernardo, you know, there's a lot there to like about your team. You know, as much as you go, well, we all fancied, and Mark called it early 5-0, and well done to him. But I keep going back to it. If you pay your money, and it is a lot of money, you're entitled to do what you want.
It depends what Riley wants, right? If Riley buys his season ticket because he wants to go there and see real competitive football every week in the jeopardy of going, Celtic might lose some home games. Well, see, before he purchases his season ticket, he said, I had a long look at the history of this league, and Celtic win almost every week at home, and that's what he's going to face. So again, I just didn't get his points. I don't think we should get caught up too much.
To give a quick history lesson, in my lifetime I have watched Celtic win the European Cup, and 27 years later I watched them 24 hours away from going out of business. That's what football looks like. And you always enjoy your good times, because in football, as Helen knows, the bad times will find you as well. And then your season ticket is spent on watching a team that you feel sorry for.
Helen, what pleased you about today?
Oh, I thought this team was brilliant. I thought the passing, the goals. So for somebody to come on and say he was bored and he left at half time, I just find unbelievable. I honestly, hand in heart, I don't think he's a Celtic fan. No Celtic fan that I know would come out with those that comment. Absolutely not. What does he want to do, them to do? Play rubbish football and then he'll be happy? Do you know what I mean? Why would you pay your money and hope to, they don't score? Do you know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. Give your ticket up and give it to somebody that's waiting in the queue.
Take away the goals, right, and the five different goal scorers, and some of them were eye-catching that. But I think Kellen touched on a point there. The way that Celtic play just now is attractive to go and watch, especially at home, where the pitch is big and the chances they create, the way they move the ball, the speed it, the way they move it. That was the one kind of wee disappointment for me midweek. I thought in the first 45 minutes they didn't move it quick enough. But you look at the games, some of the eye-catching performances this season, and like I say, take away the goals, because that's always the end product that everybody loves to see. But we like to see football being played, you know, from the back, through the lines and all that nonsense, and out wide. And we like to see wingers take on people like Nicholas Kuhn. Celtic have had that in abundance this year, so they have been a good watch. They've not like just eked out 1-2-0 wins across the season.
The thing I will say, right, where Helen's a wee bit wrong, I don't think the lad, come on, was it Riley, whatever he called him, he's became famous now, I don't think he's come on and said he didn't want Celtic to score goals. I think it was, he was bored with the competition, you know, because I think everybody looked at that game today and said, right, if Celtic play their capabilities, they'll win it very comfortable, and that's what they do most games. But you're right, you're a supporter again along there. For me, football's about entertainment, right? I love entertaining football. I like watching a good game and, you know, a team playing very well. Celtic fans are getting that in abundance just now. Abundance. Now, I totally agree. It might not even be a Celtic. I'd like to see a 40s season ticket. But I get back to it. If he's a season ticket holder and he's a genuine Celtic fan, he's entitled to do what he wants.
The story of the day about Celtic is that following a tough Champions League match midweek, they came and they put out a side that was much changed. Six different players who didn't start the match against Club Brugge, and they entertained. They scored goals. They were denied goals by a good goalkeeper in the second half, by the woodwork. They came out and they gave the Celtic supporters justification for turning up.
Well, thank you to Helen. Let's speak to Martin, who's a Motherwell fan on the line. Martin, not a good day. Can you hear us, Martin?
Hello.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, sorry, I'd actually muted you there, sorry.
No, it's, cheers.
It's just the best game of day, mate. We're playing at home at Hibs, right? Hibs are a bigger club than that, and the noise, and I totally get that. How are you going to win a game of football playing seven defensive-minded players and you're starting 11? You're not going to win a game of football. I saw that defeat coming all day long today. We were terrible up at Ross County. it seems to be when they're chasing a game, he just lumps four strikers up front, takes the midfield away. So when loose ball's falling in the midfield, you're losing the ball and it's straight back at you again. And the three goals we lost the day were. If my kids team lost that at their game on a Saturday morning, I'd be disappointed, never mind so-called professional players losing goals like that.
Did they just...
third goal.
Sorry, Martin, I was just going to say, has this felt like a bit of a trend, recent performances?
It's been coming for a while. See, when Kettlewell first came in, he played two up front, and the Motherwell fans, well, me personally, I know a lot of Motherwell fans were crying out for it, two up front. And they started winning games, and then all of a sudden he goes back to this one. One week he's playing that boy Starmer, the Australian boy up front. Next week he's got Tony Watkins on for the bench, then he'll stick Moses on. Then he'll have Robinson starting the game. I just feel up front he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I know he improved Baird last season, and Van Veen had a good season before, but it's dire to watch. It's really bad. I mean, I watched this with Hamill, and we were bad enough under Hamill. But we're losing cheap goals. That first goal with the goalkeeper, he's about 7 foot.
See, the only thing I will say, being around the town, I know there's a lot of disgruntled Motherwell fans because of recent performances and the way things are going, but they're still top five, right? But getting back to the argument, everybody likes attacking football. Kamarnock played about five or six forwards today, and they didn't win the game. So it doesn't guarantee playing forwards has got to win you the game, but it's the style of football and how you play and how you get it up to your front men, how you create chances. And Motherwell aren't doing that just now. I think Stewart's come in for a bit of criticism probably since Hampden, when his substitutions were questioned. And I hear a lot of Motherwell fans now talking about, oh, his substitutions are terrible week in, week out. But as much as it is a poor time just now, and they've got, as I mentioned in the show earlier, they've got two away games, difficult ones, Dundee and St Mirren next. They're still in the top five, right? So you need to balance that up. At the beginning of the season, would you have taken that?
Is a league position any consolation, Mark?
Can I throw this back at you? Everybody seems to think he's doing this good job, and I like Kettlewell when he's... I just don't like formation. See, that starting lineup, he puts the same one out every week. Same formation. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You need to up and change that. But I mean, that's seven players. You don't need to play Halliday and Dava in defensive midfield against Hibs, who are really, really, well, they're poor this season. So their confidence was short. Why were there no pounding shots? Only that goalkeeper putting high balls into his box and whatever else. We weren't doing nothing like that. And if we did play a high ball, it was to the wee guy out in the wing. I can't pronounce his name. Number 55.
Maswanisi.
Aye, and you're playing a high ball at Tim now. He's never going to win a high ball against the guys at the back for Hibs.
I would agree with that. If you're playing against a Hibs team today, I would have targeted their goalkeeper all day long, right? Because that's been a problem for Hibs. They've changed the goalkeeper. He had a poor game in the Tuesday night, was it, Aberdeen? Lost three goals at home. So, bit short of confidence. To be fair to him today, he got a clean sheet. I think that the way that Motherwell are playing is a problem for the fans just now. They're switching off to it.
Taking today's game in isolation, I cannot contradict Martin or mount any defence of Stuart Kettlewell or Motherwell, because they're playing the team at the bottom of the league who have had a shocking season. Not just an indifferent season, they've had a terrible season, and their goalkeeping problems are well documented. But to lose 3-0 to them at your place has to be unacceptable to Martin and the supporters. Fantastic for Hibs, who incidentally have now scored 6 goals in the last 2 games. I mean, it could be the turning of a corner. The 3-3 with Aberdeen could have been the turning of a corner, but that doesn't help Martin enjoy Saturday night any. There is no defence that can be mounted of Motherwell following a result like that at your place.
I was going to say I think the defence is that can happen in this league. We all slaughter Hibs for underachieving for 14 games. Today, they've got a good squad. They've got good players. When you look at their individuals, I didn't see the game, so Martin will have a better grasp of it than me. Hibs players just turned up, and Motherwell maybe played to the level they have been in a couple of weeks.
Is it the bigger problem that Martin's pointing out, though, that he doesn't like the team selection, he doesn't like the substitutions, he doesn't like the style of play?
I'm wondering, Martin's saying 7 defensive players there, and I'm looking at the team set up and line up, and you've got Maswanisi there, you've got Stamina, Talopoulos.
Stammer, just go Stammer.
You've got Coletta, Ewan Wilson's done okay, Lennon Miller's in behind, Andy Halliday. Has Andy Halliday that much of a defensive player? He scores a couple of goals, he gets himself forward, takes a set piece. So there's enough there to create chances for you. But obviously, it didn't pay off today. I can get why they're frustrated, but you have to be realistic. Where Motherwell are in the league, where would you rather be? Where you are or where Hibs are? You'd take where Motherwell is all day long.
Well, let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell.
Just anger, real anger in the level of performance, real anger in every aspect of the game. I'm not going to shy away from any of them. Can't make excuses about travel or referees or anything like that at all. Full ownership. Rest with myself, playing at home. It's never been something that we've found ourselves in that type of position, being three goals down, being completely out of the game, not having a real spark to instigate that thought process that we might be getting back into a game of football. Lack quality at the top end of the pitch, lack quality in the middle of the park, and concede the most ridiculous goals that you'll see, and that becomes a recipe for disaster in the game of football. It's as simple as that. I'll stress it again, it's not to be noble and sit here in front of anybody and think any better of me going into a game on Wednesday. That sole responsibility lies with me to correct that. And over the last two games, the five goals that we concede are amateurish as far as I'm concerned. I have to put players into a position to make better decisions, put them into a position where they have more confidence going into the forward areas. And we all want to take the praise and everything. We had a good start to the season. We've had quite a lot of plaudits for where we've been sitting in the league table and getting to a national semi-final. You absolutely have to take the criticism that comes your way off the back of that result and performance.
Well, at least he said, not going to attempt to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. Terrible performance. He's taken full responsibility for it. Just a rank bad day. But the question is it just one rank bad day, or is it now becoming a trend?
Well, thank you to Martin. 01419511025. We'll hear from some more managers and a couple more calls next.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic 5-0 winners over Ross County. There was also a 3-0 win for Hibs away to Motherwell. It was 1-1 between Kilmarnock and Dundee. Dundee United 2-0 winners over St Mirren. There is a Scottish Cup match still going on between Queen's Park and Partick Thistle. It's gone to penalties. Partick Thistle currently 4-3 up.
Yes.
Queen's Park have to score their next one to stay in it.
Don't fancy them.
We will keep you updated on that. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers.
It was so good. Yeah, everything that you would want as a coach. I said before the game that it's not a game we want to wait on. We want to go and create the game. And from the very first whistle, you see the hunger and the determination in the players and the mentality to impose our style in the game. Yeah, Scalesy gets us off to a great start, great ball in, gets the header, and we were relentless after that. We played equally as well in the second half, but you have to give credit to the goalkeeper. He's made some brilliant saves. We had the crossbar twice, I think the post, and then some really good defending by Ross County. But wow, some of the football that we played, and not only that, the speed of the game. I was so impressed with the mentality of the team. We're getting there. Listen, it's not lost on me. We got beat off here last year. But what I know from my time, and obviously knowing Celtic, it isn't just about the scoreline. It's about the performance. And I think what's great is the consistency now, and how from those moments of last year, how this team is devolving and developing. It's now just, it's that continuation of consistency and the mindset. These games can be really tricky after the highs of a Champions League game and a good point in midweek, but to come and play with that energy and mentality and quality, that's really pleasing.
I just hope nobody tells him about Riley. That's all. But he's right. Every word that he said was correct. After the game against Bruges in the Champions League, Celtic came out and delivered entertainment. They demonstrated hunger, passion, desire, professionalism. And but for the post, the crossbar, the goalkeeper, it could have been anything you like. That's Celtic being true to themselves and to the fans who buy the season tickets and don't find it boring. They find it entertaining. They have delivered everything they are obliged to deliver of a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's not as if, despite the fact Celtic didn't score in the second half, they had plenty of chances. They were still creating, as Hugh says, unlucky not to score more.
Yeah, and that's all the manager can ask for. Yeah, really impressive stuff. A good example of how to utilise a big squad and a quality squad at that, giving everybody game time, even the guys that, you know, started the game Wednesday night, come on and get a wee bit as well. So he'll be extremely happy. But he keeps coming back to consistency. It's one thing I think every manager wants is consistency within your side when they're winning and playing well. It's another thing actually achieving it. But four goals away at Tynecastle last week, five at home this week. Big game midweek against Aberdeen. Will his team be able to go to the well again and produce a similar performance? Time will tell.
John is a Celtic fan in Crookston. John, how are you?
Hi guys, thanks.
What are you thinking today?
Well, I just want to challenge Mark Wilson on something he said about half an hour ago.
Go for it,
John.
Mark, I think something along the lines of your words were, at this moment in time, or right now, or something along the lines like he says it, Neil Hatate and Arnie Ingles were clear of Luke McCowan. And just maybe overall, Hatate's proved himself and Arnie Ingles comes for maybe a better caliber. But at this moment in time, surely you couldn't be any more wrong.
I couldn't be any more wrong?
Yeah, you said your words were, at this moment in time, Luke McCowan just scored a goal and got three assists.
Well, okay, I'll stand corrected. At this very specific moment in time,
yes,
you're right, reason, John.
The reason I'm challenging you, John, is because I want to speak to a question. I'm in no way here to put the boot into Real Attack. I love him. And Arnie Ingles, I'm sure he'll come well. You don't pay that much money for someone that isn't going to produce the goods. Surely, my question was, do you think McCowan should and will start against Aberdeen on Wednesday?
Are you asking me, personally?
Yeah, everybody on the panel, please.
I think Luke McCown's done very well since he's been at Celtic, but I'll go back to what I said. I think there is levels to this, and I've got experience with this myself because I came from Dundee United to Celtic. I understood there was levels to the players that were there and established. I think Rio Hatate will play. I think Bernardo is ahead of Luke McCown as well. I think Engels, just for what he's been bought for and the price tag, unfortunately I think that comes into it in Brendan Rodgers' mind. So my personal opinion, I think it'll be McGregor. I think Hatate will come back in, and I think it'll be Bernardo personally. But I don't think Luke McCown's done bad. That isn't a slight on Luke McCown. I think he's done great. I'm being realistic of how things are.
Will he start on Wednesday?
No. I know where the caller's coming from, and I think that he'd be backed up with a lot of Celtic fans. Since he's come into the building, he's been excellent. But I'm talking about Brendan Rodgers here, right? The manager at the Celtic Supporters Trust. If he's playing his biggest game tomorrow, right, Luke McCown is not starting in that game. And I'm not having a go at the lad. I just think he's in that midfield where Celtic are so strong with the talent they've got. Yes, you look at some of the players, sometimes Hatate for the other night there wasn't that great, and you think, right, get him in. McCown come in the day. I've been shouting for Bernardo for months because I think he's top drawer. But Brendan Rodgers sees it different. He sees his strongest three probably in his big games of Ingles, Hatate and McGregor. He's got the luxury it could change. Look, would I be disappointed or surprised if he went in on Wednesday night against Aberdeen? No, I certainly would not. But I don't think he will. I agree with what Mark said there.
I don't think he'll start either. And I think the choice will be between Ingles and Paolo Bernardo. I think Hatate will play, and obviously Callum McGregor will play. But we have to be careful.
Can I nip in there, please?
Well, just let me say one thing to you, John. We have to be careful with, I know that you, like many Celtic supporters, Luke McCowan is you on the park, because he was born and brought up a Celtic supporter and his dream was to play for Celtic. Therefore, he represents you and others when he's on the park. But he's still behind McGregor, Hatate, Bernardo and Ingles in the queue.
John?
Listen, I can't disagree with that. But when the boy gets his chance, like you say, he's just going to get chances from time to time. He couldn't do any more than what he did today. So how can you set up three goals score one and then get dropped. What, and see, you get a chance to take it. What,
John, do you think he'll start on Wednesday?
Do I think he will? No, but I think he should.
I think the other thing that you overlook, it doesn't matter who starts for Celtic this season. It's who finishes the game, because they use their players so well. Brendan Rodgers does it so well that no matter what's going on, the team that starts is changed throughout the game, and the team that finishes finishes the game strongly for Celtic. It's been a recurring theme. Therefore, they're not dropped. They are utilised, if I can put it that way. He, the manager, knows who's best to start, who's best to come off, who's best to go on. And there's no such thing as a starting 11 at Celtic.
See, at Celtic, you can have a couple of,
I
these
mean, there has been a starting 11, really, for Celtic, though, hasn't
of
there?
Of course there have.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's a starting 11, and the best starting 11. But it's as if people are saying, oh, Luke McCowan is being excluded because his name doesn't end in a vowel, or we didn't cost £11 million. It's Brendan Rodgers, the theme of the season for Celtic has been the use of players, the extensive use of players, because they have a quality and depth that no one else can live with.
I think there's a few in that category, right? You can even expand that to, say, Scales, for instance. Right, how good has Scales been for Celtic? Comes in today, gets opening goal, clean sheet defensively, Atalanta, terrific, brilliant, you know, we trust him. But unfortunately for Scales, and you can argue, oh, he should be starting, Trusty and Carter Vickers seem to be the partnership that in the big games that Brendan Rodgers will go to. You look at the left back position, there's now a debate there as well. Listen, it's healthy competition. It's a great argument to have, because if you're having those arguments about these players in those positions, you're in a good place.
Well, thank you to John. Running short on time, I do want to hear from David Gray after Hibs 3-0 win over Motherwell.
Delighted for the players, for the, listen, the effort, the level of professionalism, how strong we looked within the game, and I think fully deserved the 3 points today. Challenged the players before the game to use Tuesday night as the turning point in the season, take the confidence from that, and I think you've seen a side today that was playing with a lot of confidence and belief in themselves, and I think the clean sheet as well really helps with that. Delighted for everybody, and we need to use this, like I say, as the turning point in the season and kick on from here, because that doesn't fix things in terms of where we find ourselves. We know we need to progress, keep improving, but it takes us off the bottom of the table at the moment, and now we chase down the team in front of us. I think there's also an element of what we have been doing and the internal belief of what we have been doing. I know I've sat and had to answer a lot of the questions quite similar most weeks about me believing in the team, but also today we're not talking about individual errors. We're not talking about decision making within the game or mentality, which is shows you at this level how difficult it is to win games of football. But if you do the basics well, there's no individual errors today, and we keep 11 players on the pitch. We're a real good side, and we demonstrated that today. And credit to everyone for being professional, but also delivering that level of performance.
He sounds like a boxer who's taken a bit of a beating, and they put the smelling salts under his nose, and he's there, he's back in the fight. So well done, David Gray. He sounds 10 years younger, and now it's on to the next game midweek, and he'll be looking to see how Hearts get on against Aberdeen tomorrow, because Hearts are now bottom.
I mentioned that Queen's Park Partick Thistle game went to penalties. Queen's Park are through 7-6 on penalties.
Thriller.
Robbed.
Yeah.
Nah, no, that is disappointing. No, no doubt denying that, because it means a lot to teams in the Championship and leagues further down to get to the next round of the Cup and get that big draw. So hugely disappointing from a Partick Thistle point of view.
Yeah, a big day of action, a big day of action to come tomorrow as well.
Two
Hugh.
Highly intriguing games. Aberdeen going to Hearts on the back of a defeat at Paisley and a draw in Edinburgh with Hibs, and they can't afford another setback against Hearts at Tynecastle. What an occasion. But before then, high noon. High noon literally for Rangers, because they're 14 points behind Celtic. What will be with Aberdeen. But 14 points behind Celtic, for the Rangers supporters, that's embarrassing. And they want that lead reduced tomorrow, or else.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls and for your tweets. We will be back on Monday night, where we will look back on all of today's action and, of course, the big games tomorrow. St Johnstone against Rangers at midday, Hearts against Aberdeen at 3 o'clock as well. And, of course, some Scottish Cup action still to come this weekend as well. Stick around, though, because it is the GBX up next.